You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
You have a balloon of heroin up your ass, yes. Face.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, Dice talks about Charlie Kirk, Jimmy Kimmel, free speech, and more. And now your host, willing to give up his freedom of speech, if it means the rest of you all have to shut the fuck up, Dice Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is Social Hour. I am Deese. What is up, guys? Thanks for coming back for another episode. I know I was gone a week, but I'm back. Thanks for being here. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, guys. Real quickly, before we get into it with the show today, where I'll be, I will be, if you listen to this the week it comes out, I'll be at the Dallas Fan Fest October 4th and 5th in Dallas, Texas, slinging Killstan. And we've got some other conventions coming up in Beaumont, Texas, Shirts, Texas, and a couple stand-up comedy shows. Go to deescomedy.com and Inferno Comics. Check out all the stuff going on. And Killstan number 3 coming in hot, guys. We're almost there. I know it's taking a little longer than I thought, but we're getting there. So we appreciate you hanging in. And to everyone who's read it and sending us nice messages, and just can't wait for number 3. We appreciate it. This is, we don't have a guest today, guys. It's just me. I wanted to get on here and kind of have a little powwow. A little conversation about what is going on in the world today and so much more. Last episode, we were on the heels of the Charlie Kirk assassination. I promised you guys I would come on and talk about that a little bit. And we're gonna today, as well as a couple other things. I'm gonna really just kind of, you know, it's maybe a little different than what I may normally do on these shows. I'm just going to get started and see how this goes. So I was actually getting ready to record a podcast when the news on Charlie Kirk's assassination came through. Actually, when the news that came through originally was just that he had been shot, and initially the news kind of was just that he had been shot in the arm is what I first read. It didn't seem very dire. It seemed pretty simple. It seemed like, you know, crazy assassination, someone tried to shoot him, but yeah, it's gonna be okay. And then I get off the podcast and the reports come through that he had died. And what happened after was, in my opinion, a nexus point in our timeline, a real breaking point, you know, a divergent timeline that really is going to change things exponentially and drastically for all of us, for the worse, and it's going to expedite things that have been coming down the pike pretty quickly, and you know, potentially maybe is part of the master plan. I don't know. But, you know, I was no follower of Charlie Kirk. I was no huge fan. I think a lot of things he said made some sense, were common sense, were common decency. I think a lot of the things he talked about were maybe too far conservative for me. Although I will say that most of the sound bites that people are using as ammo against him online are out of context or truncated to be weaponized, as opposed to if you were to take the breadth of that entire clip from what he, you know, that sentence was clipped out of, you're probably going to find something that seems a lot less crazy, a lot less divisive, of a lot less charged. And this is going to be a little rambling today, but this is part of the problem, is that we as a society have come to the point where we just, there's no nuance, there's no reading past the headline, there's no looking into anything. It's just, you know, someone posts a meme about quoting something someone says, and it's taken as the gold standard for eternity, you know, which has become very dangerous, because it's allowed everyone to be fooled and misled and walk down a dark path and brainwashed. And I'm not saying specifically one side or the other, because it happens very, very much so on both sides. And this is kind of the unfortunate place I'm in as, a moderate, as a libertarian, as someone who probably sits, you know, center left, center right, depending on the day and the topic. And, you know, even that is the type of thing that's considered a pejorative now, is, being willing to look at both sides, having ideas on both sides. Centrists people that, you can't just sit on a fence, you can't make a decision. No, I have made a decision, and my decision is that I will not be complicit with a rigged and game system that we have been forced into, to choose between two candidates that do not deserve the position, are not qualified, and do not have America's best interests in mind. That's what I've decided. I think everyone else is foolish for deciding that they're willing to go along with whatever their party shoves down their throat in the, you know, this lesser of two evils thing. I mean, goddamn, the Democratic Party hasn't even let their constituency decide who's going to go to the primary since, God, probably Obama's first term or second term. So you're talking about someone, you know, they haven't really had an option since 2008. But I digress. I'm getting sidetracked here. So when I saw that Charlie Kirk had been killed, it was my first instinct was, wow, that's sad. It hit me in a way I didn't think it would hit me, because again, I'm pretty cold, heartless son of a bitch. And I'm no stranger to making crass jokes or off-color jokes. I'm all for that that freedom, and that is going to be a talking point of the day. I'm all about that. I think you should be able to do that, and I've done that. For some reason, this really hit me hard though, because maybe because of where we're at as a country, so divided, where we're at, that this is what it's come to, that if someone has ideas we don't like, we kill them. And that's very dangerous, whether you agree with what Charlie Kirk said or not. You could disagree with 100% of what he said. Killing him is still wrong. That's not how we that's not the solutions we have. There's no, no due process, no litigation. We just, someone decides and then he's gone. It just hit me. The gravity of what it meant, not necessarily him specifically, because again, I wasn't intrinsically tied with this guy. I just had seen some clips online and, but the gravity of someone like that being killed is what really hit me and made me realize that where we're at is much, much worse than I ever really even thought as a country. And then it just got even crazier, because people were literally rejoicing his death, cheering for a man's assassination, gleefully celebrating a wife and children who aren't gonna have a dad that are gonna come home tonight. And at first it made me kind of mad, and then really honestly it just made me sad, I felt sad. I felt sad, not even just for his wife and kids. I felt sad for the people who are reacting that way. I still feel sad for him. Normally I'd be more angry. Normally I'd be more cynical. Normally I'd be more willing to throw some barbs their way and make fun of them. But honestly, I just feel sad for them. They're broken people. You're lost people. You're people that don't have a rudder anymore. You don't have a moral high ground. Your moral turpitude is broken. Your internal moral compass is shattered. You're lost, you know? These people are just lost. And they're sad, and they're gripping at anything they can that gives them that dopamine rush or hit or feeling that, you know, they're accepted into the tribe, that someone, you know, someone clicks a heart emoji or a laugh emoji on whatever they post online, and that's the closest they get to ever feeling alive. And I feel sad for them. So the people out there that are cheering, I think it's disgusting, but I just think it's sad more than anything, you know, because they're just lost, broken people with that don't have no concept of self, have no concept of others, have no compassion. And yeah, I don't know what else to say besides it's a sad, they're sad, broken people. You know, and man, when we start killing people who we don't appreciate what they have to say, God, it's time for all of you to start running serpentine to your car when you leave the house, because man, I see what you post online. You have some fucking retarded ideas. No one's safe. No one, you know, it's just a dangerous precedent. You know, that's not the way we silence people. And it's getting so extreme because we've started weaponizing language. We started manipulating language and changing it and weaponizing it. And it's weaponized it as well as taken away the teeth. You know, when everyone's a racist, when everyone's a Nazi, when everyone's a fascist, just because they don't agree with you, they don't 100% think your way is the best, then what? You know, then all of a sudden they're the worst, and what, we get to kill them because we don't agree with them, because they don't agree with us? You know, Charlie Kirk was not inciting violence. He was inciting open dialogue with college students, with the next generation, with people who may or may not agree with him. And I think that open dialogue is the only way we move forward as a country. You've got to be able to look at other people and speak to them. You know, I look at a guy like Daryl Davis. He's a black blues singer. Grew up in, you know, the 50s and 60s. The guy knows, he's familiar with racism. He's familiar with Jim Crow laws. He's familiar with bigotry. That guy will tell you what those things are. That guy knows what those things mean. That guy spends his time talking to legitimate members of the KKK, asking them why they do what they do. Not killing them, not shooting them, not attacking them. Having an open dialogue with them to understand why they do, and let them know, not that they're wrong, just to understand them, to listen, and to get to know that person, that core, what's inside of them. And he's had over 100 Klan members relinquish their robes, turn over their robes to them, and rebuke their ways. And that's amazing. That's the real way we change things. Not shouting people down, not censoring people online, not shooting people in the fucking neck and then celebrating it. You know, and then it's celebrated and justified by saying, well, you know, he deserved it. He talked and said there's a certain amount of people that are going to die from gun violence. Yeah, he did say that. But if you look at that whole quote again, it's much more nuanced. It still doesn't mean he deserved to die for that, you know? And people rejoicing it and saying, well, you know, he said things we didn't like, so that's okay that he died. And then we had a big old dose of irony that, of course, no one ever sees, no one ever tastes. They just swallow it and don't even know what they're taking down. But a couple days later, Jimmy Kimmel is canceled temporarily for 4 days. You know, obviously we didn't know how long he was going to be canceled for when he was. But his show was temporarily put on a hiatus because of some things he said about the shooter of Charlie Kirk, which, by the way, weren't true. You know, but he was making a joke, kind of fumbled the setup. It was kind of a weird way to say it. It was kind of a weird way to make a point. But he was making a joke, you know, he was making a joke. And the actual joke of, was the punchline was kind of good, where he talks about Trump saying, you know, when the reporter asked him about the Charlie Kirk murder, and Trump kind of sidesteps it and talks about this beautiful rose garden they just planted or whatever, and you know, Jimmy Kimmel says the, you know, third stage of grief is construction or whatever. It's funny punchline, little jumbled setup, not true setup, whether he realized that or not. I think he's smart enough to know, but you know, and then he gets pulled off the air, which again I don't think was right. You know, Trump's administration kind of bullied the FCC into it. I think it's more than that. Everything's a little nuanced. I think it's more than that. I think that there's probably a piece of that, a part of that. I think it is good timing because, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's coming up on a contract extension, and his show just bleeds money just like Colbert did. It's a dead industry. It doesn't make sense anymore. It's not a good business model. It makes zero sense, you know? So, it was a couple things, but I'm not going to deny that Trump's administration probably put some pressure to do this, which isn't right. That's the government interfering. The government, that's government censorship. That's a blatant disrespect of the, you know, freedom of speech of someone. I will say, you know, there are consequences. It's not freedom of consequences. So if an employer doesn't like that you say that, it's not really an infringement on your freedom of speech, right? Because, like, let's pretend Jimmy Kimmel came out and was like, yo, pedophiles aren't that bad. Turns out fucking kids isn't near as bad as you think it is. There's plenty of great people out there that fuck kids. Like, can they fire him then? Is he allowed to fire them then? Are they allowed to be like, whoa, we don't want you saying that on our network? If he comes out and be like, yo, dudes who fuck horses are awesome. That's fucking great. I think that's cool as hell, you know? Like, there's certain things you are going to get. Your employer is allowed to be like, whoa, we don't want that on our network. So, although I don't think Trump's administration should have stepped in as ABC or as the network, they do have the right to be like, yo, we don't want that on our show. We pay for the show. That's not what we want. You're going to have to change the content. They are the arbiter of what ultimately gets to go on their network. The real irony, though, was everyone who was cheering about a man getting assassinated was up in arms about a guy, a shitty TV show they don't even watch getting canceled for 4 fucking days. They're like, oh my God, this guy is, he fucking, they're silencing him, politically silencing him. Sure, maybe. But at least they didn't shoot him in front of his family on TV. You know, if someone would have come out, broke, jumping out of the audience with 30-06 and put one through Jimmy Kimmel's windpipe right on TV, then I would have been a little more upset about the whole situation. But the way it went down, yeah, you know, sucks. Trump shouldn't have done that. If he did, I'm sure there was some interference, but we don't really know exactly. And this is all very, again, also ironic, because Jimmy Kimmel was the very person who cheered when Tucker Carlson got pulled off the air, when cheered when Roseanne Barr got pulled off the air for saying things that the network didn't like. So now, hey, good for the goose, good for the gander, right, man? But everyone's mad because this is a guy they like. Now it's a guy doing it to them that they don't like, Trump, you know? And this is where people just don't see the bigger picture, can't see beyond their own fucking just feedback loop, you know? This is a guy who is more than happy to talk about how people who didn't get the vaccine during COVID should not get medical treatment. We should just let them die. That sounds like hate speech to me. I mean, that seems as bad or worse than anything Charlie Kirk ever said. Letting a large portion of the population just die, thinking they should die because they didn't want to take an experimental mRNA jab that didn't work, that they lied to us about, that people have gotten sick about. Like, I'm going to keep hammering this too. The real crazy part about this is all these things are provable now. What they lied to us about COVID, the vaccine efficacy, vaccine injuries, the real, you know, how deadly COVID actually was. All those things, we know the truth now. And people are still hammering on that fucking dumb information from the first 2 weeks, thinking that, oh, billions of people died. No, the Cleveland Clinic did a retroactive study and found that, oh, something like 2% of the people that they thought died from COVID actually died of COVID. The numbers are drastically smaller than we think. But let's keep going down this timeline, you know? Because also, we're talking about a group of people that were enraged about Jimmy Kimmel getting booted off the air, when also, they had zero problems with the myriad of things the Biden administration did to suppress information online. Alphabet, that's Google, YouTube, Meta, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter have all come out openly saying that the Biden administration, the FBI, all pressed them and forced them to suppress information, to delete information, to, delete accounts that were spreading actual information that they just didn't like, that they didn't want around. Information they considered malinformation, which shouldn't even be a fucking word. Malinformation is information that is real, but we think that could, you know, stir people up. So something that's real that might piss you off because they're fucking you. That's what this is. The Biden administration did a myriad of that. They suppressed right-wing voices on all platforms. They suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story, which did change the course of the election. Whether it was enough to ensure Trump didn't get elected in 2020, I don't know. But it was market. They could they actually put a number. They were able to determine a certain percentage that it deterred, it changed the course of the election somewhat. So this isn't new. This is things that they did, you know? And again, this is the type of thing where when you give this information to people, they can look at that and be like, literally someone said, I don't think that's as bad as what Trump did. So you're telling me that suppressing right-wing journalists, that deleting channels who are spreading information that was accurate that they just didn't want us to have, giving us real information, telling us things that actually could help us during COVID, suppressing information on stories that would be detrimental to Biden and his administration, all those things are not as bad as Trump canceling a TV show. Even say he did. Say he went down to ABC and pulled the off lever on Jimmy Kimmel's show. Let's say he did it. That is that drastic. The other thing is still so much worse. Objectively worse. But these people don't see that. And that's part of the problem is we're not having good faith conversations with people anymore. You know, I walk into these conversations most of the time assuming I'm having a good faith conversation with someone about real things and talking in reality. And then most of the time I quickly realize, oh, you're not a sane person. You know, I pointed out to one person all the things, you know, the numerous things Biden's administration did against free speech during his, you know, 4 years. And they're like what? I'm like, if you don't already know, it doesn't matter what I show you. You're not going to accept it as reality, you know? And listen, this isn't just hammering on the left. The conservatives are just as bad on their own right. Any information they don't want, they just... in one ear, out the other. They're not willing to accept it. So again, guys, this has kind of been rambling. It's kind of short. I just wanted to get on here and say, really hope that everyone just starts looking inwardly a little more and starts looking... Maybe that makes you start looking outwardly a little differently at the people around you. That they're not all Nazis. They're not all fascists. They're not all socialists. They're just people trying to survive, and they're scared, and they're lost, and they've been brainwashed by a system that is designed to brainwash you and control you, and it's working. You're letting it work. Stop letting them pit you against the people next to you that will be the only people that may help you as this life goes further in a crazy land that we're spinning into. We are on the precipice of things that I don't think people really understand as far as it comes to the way our free speech is going to be controlled. You know, things that look dystopian, you know, Minority Report, Future Crimes Division is not crazy anymore. You know, look at Palantir, Peter Thiel. They're working with Palantir. They've got an algorithm that combs the entire internet. Private messages, use Signal, doesn't matter. Encrypted, good luck. They can get into any of it, and it combs everything, throws it through an algorithm, and if they think any of it is dangerous, they're going to come knocking on your door. And they know where you are. They know where you are. They know where we all are. You know, facial recognition technology. They've got us all on our cell phones, addicted to our cell phones. We've got tracking tags they put on all of us. We all just bought in. So it's going to get crazier. It's going to get more dangerous. And those people who you're putting your faith in, who are in charge, do not have your best interests in mind. Bernie Sanders doesn't, AOC doesn't, Trump doesn't, Gavin Newsom doesn't, Marco Rubio doesn't. None of them do. They're all criminals. None of them care. It's them fighting against us. Find a way to connect with the people around you. They're the ones who matter. So, anyway, I'm sure we'll talk more about this some other time. Do some research, man. Look on some other websites besides MSN or fucking Newsmax. I suggest antiwar.com. That's a good one. Look up some independent journalists. You know, there's a lot of ways you can get some information, but get offline. Unplug. It's no way to communicate with the people around you. Go to real life. Talk to people in real life. Have conversations with them one-on-one, not through a keyboard to a fucking emoji. So, anyway, take care of yourselves, guys. I'm out of here. I'll see y'all next week. We've got some guests coming up again. And episode 500 is coming in a couple episodes. We're going to do something cool. I still don't know what yet, but it will be cool. All right, guys. Go to dscona.com. Check out everything going on across the network, live shows, etc. Inferno.earth for all the comic book stuff. Killstand number 3 coming soon. And that's it, guys. For the social, I have been Deez. Thank you very much. And we will see you all next week.